it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. Well, we got stuff to talk about. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion. Former Atlanta Falcon, Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She's the queen of improv, the first lady of Atlanta baseball. She likes tofu, and she is the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. And back from his Philadelphia Eagles fan retreat, where he watched them drop a banner that they didn't want to talk about, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews and his creepy wave.
Somebody waved like that this weekend as an NFL player. I can't remember who it was now, because I remember watching it going, dude, going to have to say something to Dylan. But
was it an Eagle player? Because that's probably where Dylan got it from.
I want to say it was a Bills player last night, maybe.
Sounds like I'm going to have to copyright the wave. It was like stealing it.
You weird wave.
Can't copyright something you didn't invent, I don't think. By the way.
Ding.
The fans and the players' interaction last night in the Buffalo Baltimore game was a little rough. You know, Lamar Jackson shoved a fan that was in the stands.
I loved it.
Had the fan did it. Now, in defense of Lamar, I'm not coming at Lamar. I need to see more of it. But the fan did, like, basically shove the head of another Raven in the helmet.
He did it on the wide angle. He like, mugged it. We used to call that mugging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what y'all called that, but we used to call it mugging each other in high school. Just, ow.
It's one of those deals where I don't like that. From the fan at all, 100% should be ejected. Lamar probably needs to restrain as well because that puts him in a bad spot, in the league in a bad spot, and I don't want that becoming a thing with the player fan.
He's defending
physical.
His friends.
I have no issue with his actions. I just don't want it to see it become a trend because it leads down a bad road, and you know how that goes. And now maybe we'll have nets up on football games eventually because of that. I mean, that's where you go.
The bigger issue with that is you saw on one of Derrick Henry's runs, somebody tried to hit him with a water bottle as he got in the end zone. Mm. That was unfortunate.
Well,
that's neither here nor there. It was crazy.
I feel like there were a lot of situations this weekend. I feel like it's kind of like a ripple effect from the Jalen Carter incident Thursday night. Everyone's just like, oh, they need to be ejected. Eject them. Eject them. It was just all over the place. Mm. As far as the show today, 6:40, I'm going to try to help us shake off any negativity you might be feeling with a game for the Mac drop this morning. 8 o'clock, we've got Man Up Monday. We'll see how Mike and Bo's picks went from Friday. 8:20, former Falcons quarterback and Atlanta Falcons radio analyst Dave Archer will join us. He can help shed some light on what went right and what went wrong yesterday. All right, now, though, I do want to give credit where credit is due. Mike, I saw someone, I believe, trying to bait Bo on Twitter. Maybe bait is a strong word, but they were trying to they were giving you the runway to be the most negative person you could have been.
You mean the bad weekend?
The bad weekend where they laid out everything that went wrong, that you have to work on Sunday, da-da-da, and you're just like, my weekend was great.
There you go.
I was like, look at Bo turning this around, not taking the bait there.
Boy.
You know what? First off, that means a lot to me that you noticed, honestly, because some people in here want to criticize to the nth degree on me and my Twitter interactions, but will never give the credit that I'm due at times. I'm not looking.
Nth degree.
I'm not looking at anybody,
stole
Michael.
That from me.
You're the first person to ever use it.
I used it 2 minutes ago. What are you talking about?
But I just want to throw it back on you. But the reality of the situation is, I don't know where that came from. I do think that I have a different outlook on what happened yesterday than a lot of the fans, which is good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think mainly good. But I did. I looked at that tweet, and I'm standing in the locker room, by the way.
Ding.
When that tweet came through, and I go, no, I didn't have a bad weekend. My weekend was Friday night. We went to dinner, Cancun's, and then it was Saturday. I watched football all day. Went to Cancun. Went to casino night. And then hung out with my friends and my buddy Connor, who is my buddy Carter's neighbor, and he listens to the show. He lives in Tampa. He was up for member guest. And I had a great, and then my weekend was over. Sunday morning when I woke up, I had to go to work. And I love my job. My teams had a bad week, both of them. And one worry worse than the other, but I don't know. I was hit with the positive stick. I got a beautiful kid at home, you know, so she's smiley and happy. And so I just didn't feel negative. But I mean, nobody wants to hear about my weekend. They want to hear about, you know, what happened yesterday. But yeah, I didn't feel the need to go negative or go nuclear.
Well, and it's week one. If you start going nuclear right now, we got a long fall ahead of us. And I think that's, you know, the vibes we usually try to put out on this show, right?
Right.
The sky's never fallen. It's just about making the adjustments and going full speed ahead.
There are no Chicken Littles on this show,
there
but let's get into it a little bit. The Falcons did lose yesterday 23-20 to the Tampa Bay Bucks. A lot of fingers being pointed at Younghoe because he missed that field goal, which could have extended the game. Obviously, a very disappointing outcome overall. What all did you guys notice yesterday? What did you see? Who do you want to give credit to?
Credit goes to Michael Penix, I think, first and foremost. I think we've all kind of wondered, and a lot of this goes back to Kirk Cousins starting, you know, the first half of last season, most of last season. Kirk Cousins played at a very high level for the first half of last season. And you wondered, okay, Michael Penix taking over. I think we all knew and expect him to be more consistent throughout the entirety of the season and obviously throughout hopefully the next 10 years or whatever it may be. But there is always that feeling of when you have a new starting quarterback in week one, like, are you going to get the same output? I thought he played incredibly. I thought he matched Baker Mayfield in a lot of different ways, which I don't think most people even expected, just in terms of grit and determination and kind of putting the team on his shoulders at times. So I would say, first and foremost to me, you point to Michael Penix and say, dude, what a great era of quarterback play we could possibly be entering into with him at the helm and him playing under center.
Oh, yeah, he showed a lot yesterday. I take great pleasure in every time he is forced to move and when he scrambles and makes a play with his legs because, look, I don't think he's Mike Vick or Justin Fields or Lamar Jackson or, you know, even Josh Allen or, you know, name the quarterback. But he's pretty freaking athletic, and he's pretty nifty with his feet. He can run. He's got good straight-line speed. And I thought he showed his athleticism yesterday and that he's not, again, not the guys I just mentioned in a dual threat quarterback, but if he needs to make a play, he's just as bit to me, if not even more athletic and nimble in the pocket than Baker Mayfield. And it's a really good point, Mike, that you brought up. You know, you gave up 101 yards rushing, I believe, yesterday to Tampa. 39 of that was to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And they were not designed plays. They were at moments where you got pressure, and because of either gap in your pass rush, gap integrity, or just, you know, Mike, you mentioned to me earlier, and I don't want to take your thing, but it's your credit to you. You said, look, if you're rushing only four, there is always going to be a little gap that if he can find that crease, boom.
Right.
And I thought he did a good job of that. But I thought Michael Penix did as well, especially that next to last drive where you put the touchdown when you went 91 yards. Don't hit me. Can I just say to someone real quick? Don't hit me with the, well, it was aided by penalties. That's great, it was, but it's not your fault that you forced them to make mistakes.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Their last drive was aided by penalties too. The one to Luka Rororo. I mean, there was just a number of different things. The Falcons had more penalties than the Buccaneers did. So that just kind of is what it is. Not only that, but you were backed up on the very final drive with the field goal attempt that Younghoe missed because of a penalty on special teams against Kadarius Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
You were backed up all the way to the 14. So there's always going to be give and take with that. That is probably one thing that I look at and I'm like, man, I wish we could clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he had a bunch of turnovers, neither the day. He didn't create turnovers, but the penalties were frustrating as far as Elijah Wilkinson having two procedural penalties.
We saw that in the preseason from him, too, when he played left tackle. He tries to get a jump.
Yeah.
In the second preseason game against the Titans.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a number of different things. I think Chris Lindstrom had a penalty as well. It was just a bunch of things that you look at and go, man, if you could clean that up, you can, you know, keep yourself out of some bad situations. But what's crazy enough is more times than not, you overcame them. I mean, sometimes when you have false starts like that on the right tackle spot, it can be a drive killer. And Michael Penix did a nice job of stepping up in those situations and, you know, kind of making sure that he didn't let that happen. So I just thought, for the most part, I knew all eyes would be on him. We talked about it in yesterday's countdown to kickoff. It's like, dude, Michael Penix era is here. Let's see what we got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you didn't come out victorious, but I thought you feel really good about where he's at coming out of yesterday's game. I think that was a lot of the national narrative as well.
Yeah, and somebody, I was on Twitter very active last night. Not as much as normal after a win or a loss, but someone said to me, well, we couldn't afford to lose this game. It's first game of the year. It wasn't a win or go home kind of game. But we're behind the eight ball now in the division. And I just responded, I was like, look, yeah, it's definitely a game you wanted to win. And I'm all in it. But, you know, you beat them twice last year and still lost the division. So it's very – just because you lost the first game, which was a division game to the division favorite, doesn't mean, you know, fire sale and the sky is falling and – let's just sound the alarms.
Well, and I have a lot of stats to go over to compare this one to last year's Thursday night's game. I don't want to get into that just yet, but I will say, remember we talked about it Friday, how much of the last season hinged on the fact that that referee touched down that ball when he spotted it when you lined up for the game time field goal. He just touched the ball. Instead of picking it up and spotting him, that would have ended the game. He touched it and put it down. It felt like in a lot of different ways, this game was almost exactly like that at the end. You just didn't make the kick. Yeah. And I've got a lot of stats lined up for the people that think the sky is falling and how good we felt after that night when Kirk Cousins is throwing for a franchise record 509 yards. It's like we're really close, if not in a better place compared to that game, just 1 year ago. So we'll kind of get into that throughout the show. But yeah, I mean, there was some encouraging things yesterday. There's no doubt. You got to take the bad with the good, but I didn't feel awful coming off of yesterday's game.
Yeah, there were so many tricky little variables that could have swayed the outcome of yesterday's game either way. But we do want to know your thoughts. It's Reaction Monday. We want to hear how you're feeling. So get on Twitter. Join the thread we've got going on right now at 929 Morning Shift. We will read those on air. And coming up, I think we've kind of got a broad picture of what went down yesterday at Mercedes-Benz, but we'll get into the nitty-gritty, hear from Raheem Morris and a few Falcons next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.